It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a beautiful day. I'm glad that you've joined us today to study the precious Word. We're continuing the study in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with the 9th verse. We're going to read the 9th verse down through verse 14. Verse 9 through 14, chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 through 14. And so please, while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you found the verse of Scripture now, we don't tarry long. We get right into the Word of God that we may know it and grow in it. It's a joy to study the Word of God. It's very important. Philippians chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. I hope you have it now in front of you and you can follow along. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, of which ye were also careful, but ye lacking opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am in this to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Let's begin with a word of prayer before we start today. Father, I thank you that we can come together and enjoy this precious time. I ask that you will help us, that you will guide and lead us through these words, that we may understand the fullness of Christ, that we understand that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to take our sin away. Understand, first of all, Lord, that we are sinners and lost, separated from you. Please, Lord, that you will help us to see the condition we're in, the horrible, awful condition that our lives are in, and that we need Jesus. We can do nothing. We're totally and completely separated from God, and we have no fellowship, no communication, nothing with our Heavenly Father unless we come by the way of the cross and come to Jesus. Please, Lord, that you will guide and lead us now as we study these words, as we continue to grow in your way and your will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We love to study the Word of God, and it's a joy to do so, and it's a joy to have the excitement in Jesus. And that's what Paul is talking about here as he's beginning to close out the letter that he has written to the church of Philippi. And they have taken good care of Paul. They have met his needs, and it seems as though, according to this letter, that they were meeting his needs when no other were there. And you know, it's sad today that no one seems to care whether the truth is preached and the truth is proclaimed, and care for the pastor and for the preacher that proclaims the truth and stands upon the truth. This man Paul, as he proclaimed it here as he finished out, and I didn't read these verses of Scripture, but I will now for you in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned, and this is where I started, both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. There's obedience here. And the God of peace shall be with you. It's so important, my friend, that we see the Word of God and we follow after the truth. We spend a lot of time talking about the truth, the Word of God, and there's no way in this short period of time that we have together that you can learn the truth from teaching that I have. It's so important that you not only share in this program, and I'm glad that you do, and hope that you receive a blessing from it, but also you need to be in a Bible-preaching church, and you need to hear the Word of God, and it seems as though that no one takes serious today the need, the necessity, to learn of Christ. Paul did. Paul learned in his life. He searched after the will of God, sought the will of God, and found the will of God, and lived the will of God. And in doing so, he is saying, those things which both learned and received and heard and seen in me, all those things, every part of my life, do. Now that's quite a command. That's quite a request. And the God of peace shall be with you. What a promise. Please that you look into the Word of God and seek the Word of God and know the Word of God, that you may know the power and the presence. I rejoice in the Lord, verse 10 says. I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at last your care of me hath flourished again, of which ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Are you caring for the men of God, for the folks that's proclaiming the truth, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Do you pray for them? Do you care for them? Are you caring for the needs of the people that is spiritually feeding you? Paul here says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care of me hath flourished again. They were not able. The opportunity wasn't there, according to this verse. You lacked opportunity. The opportunity was not there for this church of Philippi to help and assist Paul in material things. Not only in spiritual things concerning the prayer for him and the lifting him up as he continued to preach the truth and stand for the truth, when many times it caused him his freedom. He had to find himself in prison, and he found himself being beaten. So many folks would persecute him in so many different ways. And yet with the strength and the power of the Lord Jesus, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life, he continued day by day preaching the Word, in season and out of season. He did not stop with preaching the Word of God. He did not stop with preaching the truth when he many times was the only one that was going to stand for the truth. And today has not changed. The crowd is going with the false teaching. With all the excitement and activities are going, no one wants to come to a church, to a place of worship, that they come together and they open their Bibles and they study the truth, the Word of God. Folks today do not want to do that. They want to come and they want to hear great music. They want to hear great preaching. And I mean, when I say great preaching, I mean great speaking. Not necessarily great preaching. They want to leave feeling good. Paul left many folks feeling good because they saw their sin and they repented of their sin and they turned unto Jesus. But Paul left many people feeling miserable because Paul exposed their life. Exposed the sin that they needed to have forgiveness for and come to Jesus and be saved. But they rejected that. They didn't pay attention to Paul, and they persecuted Paul, and they threw him in prison. They beat him, and all these things that happened through Paul's life. And yet he can say here that I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, of which you're also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. When everybody else would desert him, would pay no attention to him, would not give Paul the time of day, many folks that he had started, many churches that he had started, local believers, had kind of forgot about Paul. They should have never forgotten about Paul. Paul should have been someone very sweet to their heart, very special to them. But for some reason, they've ignored him and walked away from him. It can be done today, too. The man of God that preaches the truth is many times left alone, ignored, and his needs are not cared for. But these folks, these sweet folks of Philippi, was not a wealthy church. But they gave what they could, and they gave as often as they could. Oh, that would be a sweet, sweet combination. Please that you search your heart. And please that you take care of the man of God that's preaching the Word of God. They're far and few between. Don't ignore his calling for repentance. Don't ignore his calling to come to the study of the Word of God. Be in the house of God. Do not miss an opportunity. If the door is open, you be there. Don't find an excuse. Don't make an excuse. Be there. Be in the house of God. Search and study the Word of God. This folks of Philippi would have given anything to be in Paul's presence every day. But Paul, it was needful that he would be out and preaching the gospel and starting other churches and things of that sort. And so because they could not be with him, you know, many times that would be they would stop with their financial support of that man. He's no longer there. He was here. He's gone. I'm sure he's a good friend of ours, but so what? But not to the church of Philippi. To the church of Philippi, Paul was a great preacher of the truth, the Word of God. And because he was a preacher of the truth, he was a good man. A man that they felt in their heart to help and to support. They continue to do so. Paul says here in the 11th verse, that he said, not that I speak in respect of want. I don't need anything. Now, Paul was very poor. Paul was a tent maker. Paul had to stop off and work for a while to make his living, and then he would go back to preaching, and during when he was working, I'm sure he was preaching. It never changed from day to day. He proclaimed the word. But he said, I'm not saying, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again. Now hold on to that. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again. He says, not because I need anything. Look at that in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. I have learned in whatever state I am in this to be content. So if I'm poor, I'm happy. If I'm rich, I'm happy. I don't care. He's content. To be content. Oh, that is a word that doctors worldwide try to bring to people, is contentment. To have a peace in your heart. To be content. How many dollars worth of medicine do you take so that you can wake up in the morning and go to sleep at night? To be content. How much money do you spend at the country club? What kind of a golf score is your goal? How much time do you spend on the river and pleasures that you have? It's all set upon trying to be content. And yet Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want. Paul had nothing. Paul had nothing in relationship to the world. I don't want anything. For I've learned, in whatever state I am, in this to be content. It goes on here, and we'll come back to verse 11. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, we didn't read verse 17, but I want to jump down to 17, and we're probably not going to get that far today, but we'll. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Let's pull 10 and 17 together, and then we're going to look at the life that Paul had. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Not because I desire a gift, verse 17, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. Giving is a fruit. Do you like to give? Or do you like to get? Do you like to give? Is it in your heart to give and to care for folks and to love folks and to help meet their need? Is it important to you that they have this contentment in their life? Is that something that's important to you, or as long as you're content, at least this minute? And since I've bought this new car, I am so happy. Since I've bought this new house, I am so happy. Since I've got this new job, I am so happy. You talk to that person a week later, a month later, a year later, and their peace, that little bit of joy that they tried to hang on to, is gone. And they're seeking after it somewhere else, in a bigger boat, moved up from the local golf course to the country club, moved out of the little house to the big house, moved on up the ladder, one more job up, because that'll bring peace and contentment. And you hoard your money, you hoard your time, you refuse to give it unto somebody else that has need. All you do is set upon self. That's the reason you don't have time to be here every Sunday morning and come to Sunday school, be here at 9:30 for Sunday school and enjoy the teaching of the Word of God. That's the reason that now and then, not too often, but now and then you'll miss Sunday morning church service. There's something going on, and I can't miss it. I got a golf game, and it's 50 miles from here, and I'll miss my tee off time if I don't leave early. I've got to help with this. I've got to do that. So you sneak out of church early. It's something that you can do. You can't sneak out of work early. It's not too long, you get caught. And it's not too long, you'll get fired. But you can sneak out of church. And you don't see the need to be here on Sunday night. You don't see a need to be here on Wednesday night. That's too much. I don't want to be too religious. Well, it's terrible if you'd be holy, wouldn't it? And what you're doing is you're saying, God, I'm happy where I'm at. I don't want to come to church because when I come to church, then they'll expect me to do something. Or I don't have time to come to church, and if I come on Sunday night and on Wednesday night, it would be terrible. And God forbid that you'd get to help somebody. That somebody there on Sunday night or Wednesday night or Sunday morning would be there and would have a need, and you can take care of that need. You could help them. But God forbid that you would do that. That's what the blessing to Paul's heart. It wasn't that he had need of anything. It was that sweet heart of those people at Philippi, that they sought out every opportunity they could to bring material things to come and care for them. And they sent Epaphroditus to Paul, and they sent him with goods. Here, Paul, it's been so long. And Epaphroditus had to go all the way to Rome. There wasn't any expense that was spared here. They went all the way because they loved that dear brother Paul. That's what Paul's saying here. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That's the saddest time in a pastor's life. As he preaches the word and he stands on the truth, and he watches folks not share what God has shown them. The people have not taken their material gain and shared it with others. They have kept it. They have hoarded it. Because they thought it was necessary that they keep it themselves. I think we need to learn something here from Paul. We need to learn to give. And that's Paul's life. And that's not something natural. Natural is to buy the bigger house, to want the bigger boat, to buy the bigger truck, to buy the better car, to look just a little bit better. That's natural. That's the world way. And if that's the way that you're living, then you're living the world way. And contentment and peace will never be yours until you change your heart. And a heart change must come by Jesus, by the way of the cross. You must come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. I ask you today that you will trust in the Lord Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary. You are lost and you're dying in your sin and you need to be saved. You must come to the Lord Jesus today and be saved. I ask that you do that. Please listen to that Holy Spirit. Listen. Some people call it a still small voice. You listen as I'm proclaiming these words, and I tell you that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You're dying in your sin. You're totally, completely separated from God. Will you please come to Jesus today? Will you please look unto Him and meet Him at the cross of Calvary, and He will forgive you of your sins and He will place you back into fellowship with God? You can do that at the cross. Please come to the cross today. Come by faith knowing that Jesus will forgive you of your sins and set you free. And we started our walk now, and Paul tells us through his precious, through the precious word, that it is a walk. It's not three classes, and you get your diploma, and out you go, and you're a graduate, and so now everything is fine. You've learned everything. That's it. It's a lifelong class. It's a lifelong growing. We grow day after day after day. And we must search that word and enjoy that word, because Paul has found some things. The desire and the rejoicing. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Finally. Now sad to say, most of us would be the other way around. It's about time. Where have you been? Do you know how long I've been here? I've only got three changes of clothes. I don't have any extra food. I got no extra spending money. Where have you been? That is the attitude of most believers today, folks that have come by faith to Jesus and been saved, because they lack that day-by-day growth. They lack that day-by-day learning by the Holy Spirit the ways to live the holy, godly, separated life. We read books, we listen to everything, we listen to all the philosophy of the world, and we totally and completely ignore God's will and God's power. And there is no way, there is no way that you will have wisdom, there is no way that you will have real knowledge. And there is no way that you'll have peace and contentment separate from God. Now, all you're going to be without Jesus is an ignorant fool. Now, you have got to come to Jesus today. You have got to confess your sin before a holy God. And He will forgive you. And He will set you free. And He will set you on this daily walk. And I'm here to testify that it is a wonderful walk. It's a beautiful walk. And I'm learning how to give more each day. I'm learning how to give. And Paul was so excited that these people would take all this effort and come all this way, because it meant what he had planted and what the Holy Spirit had made such a change in their life. When Jesus had come into their life and their heart, their life had changed. And they sought at every opportunity to search Paul out and to help him, to support him. And it was just blessed Paul's heart. You know why? Because it meant to him what he had planted, the Word of God in their heart, the truth, Jesus, Savior of the world. They had trusted in the Savior, and they were growing each day enough that they put their money where their mouth was. There was action. There was fruit. I said some time ago today that the saddest time is when you see folks that don't care, that don't come to church, that don't work in the church, don't support the church, doesn't come into church three services a day, three services a week, don't see it necessary, just three services. That's too much. That's the saddest time. But a joyful time is when you have folks that give. And give. And give. Not because there's need. Many times there is. But often it's not because there's need, but because they have such a giving heart. They have such a giving heart. Verse 11 again, before we close for the day. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Now, we have in 11, verse 11, 4:11, 4:13, and 4:18, we have three different items here, and those three things says, I can accept all things, I can do all things, and I have all things. That's what the 11th, the 13th, and the 18th verse tells us. That's what Paul could see, and that's what Paul could feel, and that's what Paul knew. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am in this to be content. To be happy. To be joyful. And it was just all the more excitement. Not what he was getting, but the heart of the people that they would give. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?